I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun.
Hey, what's up, San Diego? Welcome to it. Gwen and Chris on a Monday following an unbelievable football weekend. We welcome you to our program. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, together in our Odyssey Palace studios. The next 4 hours spending time with all of you out there. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, I have one word to try and describe the NFL divisional playoffs. Spells the same forward and backward. The word is wow.
Yeah.
That was unreal. I mean, it was just incredible football. And the thing about it, in my mind, was that it built slowly up to an incredible climax. I thought the Cincinnati-Tennessee game, nobody's even talking about that game anymore. But it was a really good game.
Yeah.
It was a solid game. I mean, it got decided on a tip pass, intercepted in the final seconds. Burrow hits a big pass down to Ja'Marr Chase, and the kid kicker knocks through a 52-yard field goal. The Bengals win, and everybody's excited. And then everyone forgot about that game after the 49ers pulled off I'm not going to say a miracle. They played an unbelievable game on defense, but they needed a magical play on special teams. They got it and upended Aaron Rodgers on Saturday night. So I thought those two games were spectacular. And then Sunday came around, and the Rams-Buccaneers game was off the charts. Tom Brady almost did it again, this time from 27-3 down, only to be upstaged by Matthew Stafford. And now nobody's talking about any of those three games because it was the climax to it all was one of the best games maybe ever played between the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs last night.
Bravo to CBS, Fox. Oh no, it wasn't. Was it not Fox? Fox was any of the games this weekend?
Yeah, they did the Rams Buccaneers game, maybe.
So combination, right?
Yeah.
You had the NBC, you had Fox, you had CBS, and the NFL all deserve big kudos because they lined those games up as perfectly as you could possibly do it.
Yeah,
I mean, and it speaks to your point, right? You had a kind of a build up to the finale, which was last night, and it just didn't disappoint. There are storylines that give us stuff to talk about today for 4 hours easily. And it's just in those football games alone. But kudos to the NFL for putting together a fantastic weekend. We had talked it up all week. And to have it, that's the greatest divisional round in the history of football, at least in my history of football.
There's no history beyond that that could compete with that. I mean, we talked about it last week, that the divisional playoff round tends to come up with some of the great games and some of the memorable games, the Immaculate Reception, the Minnesota Miracle. We mentioned all these games. They're all divisional playoff games. But never have four of them happened on the same weekend. And the visiting teams came within a whisker of winning all four games, which would have been historical. And I imagine the Buffalo Bills, do not go around any Buffalo Bills fan and mention the phrase 13 seconds, because that is going to haunt the Buffalo Bills not only for this entire offseason, maybe forever. I mean, to absolutely let Kansas City get two wide open passes and go down the field in 13 seconds to tie that game on a field goal, Buffalo will forever be kicking itself. But that's just part of the allure, part of the classic nature of that game last night. And I will should we try to put an end to this right now? Because the first thing I thought of was the coin flip in overtime. And obviously whoever won it was going to have a major advantage the way both quarterbacks were playing, and Kansas City went down the field and scored. I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I honestly think that the NFL does not need to change the overtime rule. I truly believe that if you want to be a championship team, your defense has to be able to find a way to get a stop over 75 yards and keep that game alive. On the other hand, having said that, I think they're going to change the rule because I don't think that they want games ending like that in the future. What do you think?
I think people need to stop whining about this rule.
Yeah.
Because I didn't hear any of those calls when Patrick Mahomes was on the other side of that from Tom Brady.
Oh, yes, there was.
I don't remember it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
Hold up. I don't remember it reaching the volume of we need to change the rule. Of course, there's going to be people who talk about it.
Yeah.
But it didn't reach the volume of where it's at today.
Well, Kansas City actually put in to try and change the rule after it happened to Patrick Mahomes.
I saw that that Andy Reid was asked about that, and he said, "I'm glad they didn't change the rule at the time."
Right. He knows darn well that if they would have changed the rule, Buffalo would have gone back.
Here's my take on it, and it's very much like yours. Ultimately, because remember, this whole rule got changed in the first place.
It used to just be the first team that scored.
Right. They moved the field goal. They moved the goalpost to, all right, first team that scores a touchdown first. If that doesn't happen, the game will just continue on, which is why we've seen ties go up since that rule has changed. Now, are we going to keep changing the rule because, you know, one side doesn't get an opportunity or whatever it is? I don't know that I mind the way that game finished. I mean, that was as good of a finish as you could have. And quite frankly, if you get into with the college, this game they would have scored over 100 points. Nobody would have ever stopped anybody in that weather the way those two.
I hate
two,
the college rule. I agree.
I do
with
too.
You.
And the way those two quarterbacks were playing, nobody was going to stop anybody at that point. Those guys were dead tired at the end of that game.
Yeah, there was no way Buffalo could stop them, A, because they couldn't stop them, and B, because they were exhausted. I agree with you. Everybody's focusing on Josh Allen, and it's too bad that Josh Allen didn't get a chance. But you know who did get a chance? All of the players on the number one defense in the National Football League. They all got plenty of a chance. Buffalo was the top scoring defense, the top yardage defense, the top third down defense. They had all kinds of chances to stop Kansas City. I believe it was a 9-play drive that won the game in overtime. Yeah. Buffalo couldn't stop any of those 9 plays. Yeah. They also had a chance at the end of the game to stop Kansas City from going 45 yards in 13 seconds. They couldn't do that. So, yeah, I can't. I agree with you, Tony. We are on the same page. All I am saying is I think that I'm scared that the NFL may change it because there's so many people that are sour about this today. You're missing the point. What you're missing is the fact that this was just an unbelievable game that had to be determined somehow. And how ironic was it, Tony? I don't know if you saw this number pop up today. Josh Allen was 9-0 calling coin flips this year.
He did not miss a
single coin
flip
call.
As soon as he said tails, I said tails never fails.
And it did fail him. It failed him. They put up the percentage of calling 9 consecutive coin flips in a row, and it's 0.02%, but he had never missed a coin toss.
It's the only thing he did wrong. It's
absolutely the only thing he did wrong.
The only thing he did wrong.
He proved himself as a high level quarterback if he hadn't prior to that. But Patrick Mahomes proved to be just a tad better. I mean, Patrick Mahomes was absolutely unshakable. What he did in the first half, scrambling, keeping plays alive. Buffalo was playing, I don't know if anybody noticed this, I did, and Tony Romo never brought it up. I was surprised. Buffalo was rushing four, and they were taking a man out of coverage to spy Patrick Mahomes to keep him from scrambling, and they still couldn't stop him from scrambling.
Here's what I was so impressed with, really, about both quarterbacks in this game. For a long time, I've been saying Josh Allen tends to make that one mistake that cost him. He didn't make that mistake yesterday. There were some throws where I thought he could have had back, or some decision making he could have maybe have gotten him out of a play. That screen play comes to mind that lost 10 yards on. But
and all that did was set up the fourth and 19 touchdown.
The absolute rocket down the middle of the field that I don't care if it was good coverage on it. I'm not sure anybody could have done it. It was the perfect throw.
There's so many things in that game. What about the move that Davis put on the cornerback to get open on that?
My God.
Plucked him down.
Talking about selling the head fake. I mean,
my goodness.
That his head fake put my man on skates and then sent him on his rear end. But I'll say this. Patrick Mahomes all year long, I don't want to say he was criticized, but it was brought up often how difficult it was for him to check down and to take whatever the defense was giving him. And he kind of went through that learning curve. Now, the difference, I think, between him and Josh Allen, if you think back to Josh Allen's rookie year, he didn't have near the talent that he has on his team now.
Yeah.
So a lot of times he was stuck either scrambling for 15, 16-yard games or checking down. That part of the game, he got down early. When Patrick Mahomes first came into the lineup, we were seeing 17, 25, 30-yard chunks
down, there,
down the field. So he had to learn how to do that this year. And all of that adversity he had early in the year seemed like it prepared him for this moment. Because that number one defense that you talked about early in that game forced him to take some of those early checkdowns. And he did. It wasn't until later in the game where it started opening up and he started actually unleashing some of those Patrick Mahomes bullets, that you started to see it kind of all come together for him. And that was a full season of work kind of all coming together in a huge moment. Now, listen, he still got to get past this next test, which is a young Bengals team that doesn't seem to be scared of very much of anything. But that, to me, what most impressive was, A, it was the number one defense, but B, it was against the only other quarterback that could do the same exact things, make the same exact throws, perform in the same exact light that he did, and he beat him at it.
It was a great game, and everybody wants there to be no loser.
Well,
and I think that's one of the reasons why everybody keeps coming up with this overtime complaint. The fact of the matter is, a great game has a winner and a great game has a loser. And this loss was on Buffalo. They had every chance in the world to win that game. They had the game won. Come on. I mean, they're up by 3 with 13 seconds to go. They could not hold that lead, and then they could not hold up in overtime. Do not change the overtime rule, and everybody out there stops crying about that. And just sit back and enjoy a fantastic game. It was absolutely one of the great theater games in NFL history. It's the only game I can think of that approaches the epic in Miami playoff game of 1981 that the Chargers won over the Dolphins. That game had the back and forth, but that game did not have five back and forths in the final minute and 54 seconds. This game had 25 points scored in the final minute and 54 seconds. It went from 26-21 to 29-26 to 33-29 to 36-33 to 36-36, all in 1 minute and 54 seconds. I mean, what do you want? It was absolutely off the charts. Both teams played perfect football. There wasn't a single turnover in the game. There was only two or three penalties in the game. I don't know what you can ask for, and it's just amazing to me that out of that, all anybody can think of to talk about is a complaint about the overtime rule.
And that may be because of what you pointed out, right? Although the grumbling wasn't as loud as it is now, it's happened once before, and it wasn't that long ago. So you can imagine that, okay, if it was at a level the first time it happened, the second time it happens, people are going to be a little bit louder of it, but I think it would be a mistake to change the rule. I think the rule is perfectly fine. Where the game can't go on forever. It just can't. It just can't.
We only wished it could. And the other game that was unbelievable yesterday, Tampa Bay and the Rams. I mean, are you kidding me? 27-3, and you're thinking, there's no way that Tom Brady can do this again. He did it once in a Super Bowl. He pulls it off. In the fourth quarter, the Rams contribute with all these fumbles and turnovers and mistakes, only for Matthew Stafford to answer to a wide-open Cooper Kupp running down the field. Tampa Bay made the mistake of letting that go. But that game, I thought, was a classic as well. And give kudos to the Rams to overcome all those mistakes. But again, Tampa Bay, Tom Brady, there is just absolutely no way you can ever give up on that guy.
No. I mean... As much as I was watching that game, hoping the Rams, like telling myself, okay, the Rams got this game. They're up
Me
there.
Too, I about kept, 50
I
times.
I just continued to say that. But in the back of my mind, I knew every single time he got the chance to touch the football, it was trouble. It was going to be trouble. And, I mean, at this point, you almost expect it. It's almost like when MJ gets the ball late in the game, you expect it. It's probably, at the very least, going to be a tie ball game. And if they don't play it right, they could end up losing this game. But tell you what, McVay, his that play action that he that running the ball, and even though it almost cost him with the fumble there, that play action set up that move. It brought in the safety just a hair as he was trying to read that route.
Yeah,
and Cooper Kupp got by him. And shout out to Matthew Stafford. That was the perfect throw in the perfect time.
He also got knocked down by Ndamukong Suh after he let that ball go. And I don't think they paid enough credit to that throw.
Hey, all them years in Detroit getting hit in the face, making throws, it paid dividends right there. He was ready for it.
Fantastic game by the Rams. Fantastic game by Kansas City and Buffalo. And, oh, by the way, there were a couple of other games played on Saturday. And I know a lot of you tuning in want to know how Scraby got through Saturday night San Francisco-Green Bay game. Well, we're saving that for you. We'll have it when we come back. Program is underway. Suffice to say, Scraby is here today, and he's had a smile on his face the entire day. And he's
Ain't
been
no
almost
one gonna steal my shine!
I was just gonna say, he's almost been impossible to deal with.
No, I have not!
So, 49ers, you might have heard, did beat Green Bay. Also, the Cincinnati game. We will cover both of those for you. Ben Lieber, Westwood One analyst, was at the Green Bay-San Francisco game. He will be joining us. Former Charger player, by the way. He will be joining us in the 3:30 slot, so about 25 minutes from right now to get things rolling. But a lot of football today. The good, bad, and the ugly, there was no bad. There was no ugly of this divisional playoff weekend.
How
we'll
it should
cover
be,
it
too, by the way, in divisional playoffs.
Sure.
There shouldn't be any ugly ones.
No, that's what you want. I mean, you couldn't ask for anything better than that if you're the National Football League. It was absolutely insane. And I know Al Michaels was, you know, the great wordsmith, was searching for words to describe the Tampa Bay Buccaneer-Ram finish at the end. And he should have just settled on, that's football. That's just what it is now. That is the game the NFL gives us, and it was fun to watch. All right, Scraby's day, or Saturday night, when we come back. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Scraby underway for a Monday. Glad you've joined us. Great day to talk sports right here on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So I had a couple people ask me if I was freaking out during that game. Of course I was freaking out during that game. Look at my hair. It's a mess. I think I actually pulled out some of my hair. Like, no joke. This is not something I like to do, but I was pulling my hair out all night. Jimmy G played like the 49ers still ended up winning. Debo getting that first down at the end, almost losing his leg. And then Chris trying to tell me that no visiting teams in the divisional round of the playoffs win on the road. Well, guess what? Two teams won on the road, buddy. I don't know why I'm taking it out on Chris, but I am pumped up. The 49ers are on their way to the NFC Championship, and I can't wait for a full week of preparation for that NFC Championship, baby. Let's take on, I hope we don't take on Tom Brady because he always wins, but let's take on the Rams and beat him for a third time. Let's go, 49ers!
Some were wondering what a Scraby rant would sound like if the Niners pulled off the upset. Well, you got a first-time listen for those who hadn't heard it yet, and Scraby, as I think Chris and I all figured as we were watching this game, oh, Scraby is going to be an excited character.
Yeah.
You heard some of that excitement. I am here to tell you his hair looks exactly the same as it normally does. He didn't pull any of it out. But his team did get a win. Listen, you said Jimmy G played like bleep.
Yes.
And he did.
He did.
But I will say, he made some throws there at the end. Even if they were on the short variety, he put it where it had to be a couple of different times.
He also threw some good passes in the first quarter that were flat out dropped.
That's yeah, true.
That's
true.
Changed that the momentum
talk
of
about,
the game.
Talk but, about a team that looked a little flat coming out, a little I don't know if nervous is the right word.
They looked a little cold.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. Nope.
I don't know
pun
how
intended,
that
pun
was.
Intended.
No, they looked a little cold. And I'll tell you one thing. We talked about this just before we went on. I thought the San Diego guy, Fred Warner, made one of the really, really big plays
that fumble,
of that
yeah.
game.
Forced fumble.
Because Green Bay got the ball, obviously, to open the game, went right down the field. Boom, boom, boom. 7-0. 49ers drop pass, sack, 3-and-out. Punt the ball. Aaron Rodgers comes right back out, hits his first couple of passes. They move back right past midfield. You're thinking, boy, they're going to go down here 14-0. And, you know, Jimmy G, the running game is going to go away. And they throw it out on the flat to Mercedes Lewis, and Fred Warner stripped the ball away, got a fumble out of that.
Huge.
I thought that was the first sign that the 49ers were at the game.
It really was.
And,
it really was. Because they were on their way to score, and it really right that
I think
that
they were. I think they were probably going to go down and score again. So give Fred Warner a lot of credit. Give their defense a lot of credit. I mean, no matter what the weather was, I mean, to give up a TD on the first drive and then nothing else the rest of the game for the Green Bay Packers other than a field goal, that's a spectacular defensive performance. And they made Aaron Rodgers look pretty ordinary. The weather contributed to that.
Yeah.
Without
also,
question.
The bad special teams play on the Packers side.
Well,
ended
well
up
that,
losing
was
the
obvious
game for them.
That was the obvious
thing. Both special teams units on each side are near the bottom in the NFL.
Yes, but Kyle Shanahan said, I got a better special teams unit in this game. Mine's better.
And he
was right.
And he took advantage of it, too.
Yes,
there's no doubt about it.
A block field goal and a block punt
for
Kyle
Shanahan certainly outcoached
LaFleur.
Yeah,
I
give him the nod.
He outcoached him because that game really did. That game is not a game without the special teams, ultimately, right?
Because then they get the other extra field goal, so
yeah,
they're probably up by two scores. And then even the block punt wouldn't have mattered at the end.
The mere fact that he recognized that before the game lets you know that, I mean, as much as we give Kyle Shanahan a lot of crap most of the time, he knows he's a good football coach. He recognized that. He exploited it. And on the other side, Matt LaFleur has known that special teams has been trouble all season long.
All season long.
Yeah, but if it's all season long, then what are you doing at the end of the game and you're not just max protecting, making sure everything.
That's my point.
Here's the thing.
That's exactly my point. That's just a horrible oversight.
And if you go back to the blocked punt, check it out on the replay. I'm sure you've watched it 100 times, Scraby.
I have. Thank you.
The 49ers, I believe, only rushed 5 or 6 guys.
They didn't rush many.
They did not rush 10 guys.
No, this wasn't an all-out punt block.
It wasn't an all-out punt block. They weren't even really thinking about blocking the punt. They were just thinking about getting some decent field position, trying to put one drive together, and my man just blew right through Green Bay, right in the middle there, and they didn't have anything to double team that.
I couldn't help but remember who did the game for that, that was Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. I couldn't help but remember either Joe Buck or Troy Aikman mentioning about Kyle Shanahan saying, this is the one game we got an opportunity. And when you see the way the guy on top of the ball penetrates, it's almost as though they knew that was the weak spot in that special teams in terms of getting to the punter.
Yeah.
And he went right through, got his big paw up, and I know he didn't feel his hand for the rest of the night after that. As cold as that
well,
was.
He's still looking for the ball.
Right.
The guy blocked it. The ball went so high in the air that nobody knew where it was.
And it just bounced.
And I can only imagine when it bounced down, Scraby jumped through the roof.
Left.
There's the ball!
Go get it! I was even looking up at the sky like, where is it?
Nobody knew where that ball was.
Everybody was like, I'm sure everybody watching TV there was like the equivalent of what is dead air as people like were trying to locate the football. And then all of a sudden it comes plopping down.
Right in front of the guy.
And like the 49ers, like 4 guys are on top of it immediately.
Yeah, there was not a Packer to be seen.
Not a Packer in sight.
No.
No.
But you know what? They still had to stop them on the next drive and get the ball back.
They did.
And then they had to make a couple of key plays to get down in field goal range. And you know, the great call for the 49ers was the running play to Debo on 3rd and 7.
Oh.
Because I don't know that they were quite in field goal range before they ran that play.
They absolutely weren't. And you know what is funny? The Green Bay Packers had done a good job limiting Debo all game long.
Yeah.
And just when they least expected him to get the ball, Kyle Shanahan gets the ball in his guy's hand, and he gets a first down, moves the chains, and puts Robbie Gould in a spot where he can make the field goal. By the way, they waited so long to say, Joe Buck was like, the kick is up. The ball literally hit the ground before he actually said it's good.
You did not want to get that wrong.
Did Joe have a bet on that game?
He did not want to get that wrong. But Debo, like, number one, you heard me say in that little rant that I had that he almost lost his leg. He will be fine. He just took a helmet to the leg,
I'm sure a lot of people out there were concerned.
Just didn't look good. I was like, no, Debo, we can't play without you.
But what are you talking about? On that run,
it just amazes me how that guy is able to get the yards when he needs to every time.
What made that run impressive, if you watch the route running at the end of that game, nobody can stick their foot in the ground because at that point, the ground is probably like
ice. It's frozen.
But the way he was able to stick his foot in the ground, turn up field, get that extra yardage, it was one of their better offensive plays of the game.
Last thing before we go to break because we have Ben Lieber. Who was at the game, he'll tell us all about that. But what did you guys think of the Brandon Ayuk fumble that was overturned? Because as a 49er fan, I was prepared for the Packers to have that ball. If any of those things happen early in the game, it's over for the 49ers. If the fumble by Mercedes Lewis doesn't happen, it's over. If Brandon Ayuk doesn't get the ball back, it's over.
That's football, though, because that same could be said in the Tampa game. If Tom doesn't get those turnovers, Rams walk away with that game. But he got them, made it a game. And listen, the other thing I'll say before we go to break, we do got Ben Lieber, Westwood One analyst, who was there in Lambeau Field. We're going to ask him about the conditions. But the one thing I think we're going to have to talk about before this show ends, Aaron Rodgers, what is his legacy in terms of these type of moments? I mean, he's got the Super Bowl, but it's hard to pinpoint like a playoff moment for Aaron. I mean, at this point, he's put together some of the best regular season. I don't think there's any doubt he's one of the best to ever do it. However,
I got a statistic on Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to lay on you a little bit later.
We'll discuss it. We'll get
some statistics. I'll hold it up, but I'll get it to you later. It's pretty eye-opening statistics.
Yeah, we'll get into more of this fantastic divisional round. We're going to talk more about it next with Ben Lieber, Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, The Fan.
All right, right back with you, and looking forward to talking so much more. You know, guys, I think we should extend the show today. 4 hours is not enough.
It might not be.
Might not be enough to enjoy what happened this weekend in the National Football League. Ben Lieber, Westwood One analyst, former Charger linebacker, is going to join us here shortly, and we'll talk with him about his night at Lambeau Field Saturday. But before we get to Ben, let's check traffic real quick.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
By the way, while we're doing traffic there, we voted 3-0 was the vote not to extend the show today. But we will go 4 hours.
Yeah, we had to go behind closed doors to get that vote.
We had to go behind closed doors to get that vote. Ben Lieber joins us, Westwood One analyst, former Charger. Remember Ben, Kansas State guy, and playing here in San Diego. Ben, welcome to the program. How are things today?
Things are good, Chris and Tony. It's good to be on with you guys. And if I may, I will make it 4-0 for my vote. I think you guys have worked way too hard, and nobody needs to be on the radio for 4 hours.
Well, we are every day, but more than 4 hours would definitely be pushing it for sure. Ben, tell us a little bit about what you experienced Saturday night in Green Bay. I think it for both sides, I think it's something that most of us in San Diego were happy we didn't have to experience. But at the same time, I think it would also be something once in a lifetime you'd like to be in a snow in Green Bay and Lambeau Field, especially for such a great game like that.
Well, let me give you some more context to that, because I live in the Twin Cities. So I made the drive from cold, snowy Lambeau Field all the way back home to Minneapolis. And, you know, it's 12 below zero right now. So, So I didn't get any relief from the cold. But listen, guys, you do have to experience something like that. And I don't care if you have a dog in the fight or not. Get your butts off the beach in January.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if it's going to happen for a while now if Rodgers is not there. But, you know, go to a late game in Lambeau Field. It's there's just nothing like it. I mean, they've done a phenomenal job with that stadium. It's a beautiful stadium. The crowd is just so nice. It is a lot like going to Kansas City, which I'm sure people around there have experienced before, but it's a lot like Kansas City. The tailgating is incredible. The fans are incredible. They play awesome music in between snaps and during the breaks. It's just a lively deal. And then, you know, you have to experience the cold, the overalls, the camouflage. You got to stop at Fleet Farm and get all decked out with all of your cold weather gear. And if you're lucky enough to have the snow like it came down the other night, it really is just a spectacular football experience.
Well, I concur. I haven't been there in the snow, but I got a chance to watch a Cowboy-Packer game at Lambeau, and it was one of the best experiences I ever had watching a football game. I want to ask you a little bit, though, Ben, about what the Niners did that seemed to keep Aaron Rodgers under wrap. He got out like gangbusters. They go right down the field. They seem like they're about to score again before the fumble. But from that point on, the Niners' D was unbelievable against Aaron Rodgers. What did you see that they did to, I don't know, confuse or just keep Aaron Rodgers at bay?
You know, it was subtle, and I can't tell you for 100% certainty, but this is just kind of what I saw compared to the Week 3 game. They did a little bit more in the second half of the Week 3 game, but, you know, Davante Adams just torched them in that first game, and they were just – they were on point when it comes to their nonverbal communication and their pre-snap reads. And they would see the corners being pressed up, and they'd look at each other, do a little hand signal, and all of a sudden they'd, you know, throw a back shoulder or, you know, some sort of comeback. And then they'd be off coverage, and then they'd do a little hand signal, and all of a sudden it's a 50-50 ball, and he goes up and gets it. I think what they came into this game and they did a much better job of is they were disguising, but in subtle ways. Mm. The corners on both sides would either be up at press, and then I don't know if you guys noticed, there are times where Rodgers, because of the cold, he'd keep his hands in his pockets as long as he could because he wants to survey the field as long as he can. So he's going to run down that play clock, and he wants you to get antsy as a defense. And so they're really patient. They would just kind of wait. They'd be at the line, and then all of a sudden they'd start backpedaling, and then they'd play off. And all of a sudden now everything that he thought they were not doing. Mm. And then vice versa. They'd start off, and then they'd slowly creep back up to the line of scrimmage. And so they had this yo-yo effect with their corners in which I think they timed it up perfectly, and they were patient enough to just wait, and they couldn't get any of their pre-snap reads down. And I think it just took his processing away. He didn't have those quick throws. They didn't have those back shoulder 50-50 balls. And outside of that, because of Valdez-Scantling not being in the game, they'd had nobody take them over the top. And so they kind of just took away, you know, what they do best.
Ben Lieber is with us, former linebacker with the Chargers, now working for Westwood One, analyst, and giving us a little rundown on that San Francisco-Green Bay game. I don't know what sideline you were on, Ben, but I imagine if you were on the 49ers sideline, there had to be two or three moments of extreme concern during that game the other night. Every time Jimmy Garoppolo floated a slow, soft, off his back foot pass out into the flat and was able to survive it. Jimmy Garoppolo's performance Saturday night, what did you think?
You know, mixed bag. I certainly his receivers did not help him out. Look, you know, Kittle dropped one.
Yeah.
Seam ball over the middle that hit him right in the hands, which was right in the chest. It's not like he'd extend. It was not a tough catch, and I think the cold had a lot to do with it. But I really think that he had one guy to beat before. That's a huge chunk yardage, if not a touchdown. So that took some hidden yards off the board. And then I think it was a play or two later, Jennings snaps his head around in a very similar location. And that one's the timing was a little bit off. It was a tough catch. He'd had to turn around and just like really expect the ball to be there. But that one clanks off his hands too. You know, it's a couple throws that I don't think his receivers really helped him out. You know, he didn't play great, but look, you know, Aaron Rodgers, possibly the MVP of the league. He didn't play great either. Yeah. I just think it's so hard to play in those conditions, especially I think everybody heard the narrative that it's the coldest game that Garoppolo has ever played in as an NFL player. And you can't prepare for it. You know, Shanahan talked about it all week. He's like, look, it's a mindset. We're going to try to get these guys ready. But until you pick up a football, you know, in 5-degree weather or whatever it was, and the snow's falling, like you can't replicate that no matter where you are.
Did it surprise you, Ben? By the way, Ben joins us here on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline. Did it surprise you that the Packers defense was able to really, for the most part, stop the running game of the 49ers? Because going into that game, that was the way you thought they could beat the Packers. Run the football, wear them down over time. But it really didn't boil down to that. It boiled down to special teams.
Yeah, you know, it didn't really surprise me. Again, I know that there's so many weeks between the Week 3 game and this last divisional playoff game. But you go back to that first game, and even without Za'Darius Smith, they did a great job, the Packers defense, of shutting down the perimeter runs. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that on the edges, they have proven to be pretty stout. And then because of my experience in the NFC North, I see a lot of, you know, Tyler Lancaster and Kenny Clark. And I'm like, okay, if those guys can win on the inside, well, I'm pretty confident that they can stop the run. Now, that was also a time where they weren't using Debo the way they used Debo.
Right.
And, Mitchell wasn't playing. So you have those factors as well. But as far as a physicality standpoint, I knew that they could make some plays. And that's kind of what happened. You know, it's, I think they met force with force. They were able to do that. But again, like you said, it comes down to three phases. And, you know, you get two bad special teams units kind of locking horns. And, you know, for the 49ers, they came out on top. They made more plays in the special teams game, which was surprising. You know, I just, you know, think that having the home field advantage, I think, gives you some of those advantages. But, you know, you got to have all three phases play. And who knew that it was going to come down to special teams?
Ben, to block a punt like that late in a football game and only rush five or six guys, like, doesn't there have to be a total breakdown? Because it wasn't like they went with the full on-out blitz on that block punt. And I just thought, how could Green Bay let that happen? We know they're bad, but that's really unforgivable.
You know what's interesting about that? So I, because of the – that to me obviously was the play of the game. I mean, they sure. score touchdown on that and completely swing the momentum. You know, working with Westwood One, I said to my producer, I said, hey, what do you think about having Jordan Willis, the guy that blocked the punt, as our post game interview? He's like, I love it. Let's do that. And so in the post game interview, you know, I asked him about that play and he goes, well, you know, the funny thing is I'm not even on punt block. I'm not on punt return.
Huh.
And the coach came up to me on the sideline and he said, hey, Jordan, you think you can block the punt? And I said, yeah, I can do that. And he said it so casual. He's like, yeah, I can do that. And he goes out and blocks the punt. So obviously the follow-up question was like, well, what gave him the confidence to ask you if you could block the punt? And why did you feel so confident about doing that? And he goes, well, he's like, I know that I have a good get off and I know that I have long arms and I've done it before in practice and he's seen me. And so even though I'm not a starter on the unit, he knew that I was capable of doing it as long as I got a good get off. And so that sucker just walks off the bench and just like, yeah, I'm going to go block this punt. And he blocks the punt and basically wins the game. It's like the way he was describing it was just, it was so cavalier and so casual. I'm like, what? Like that doesn't just happen. You can't just like, yeah, coach, I'm just going to go out and block the punt. Well, he did. And he won the game for him.
Ben, let me ask you, because on the telecast, I can't remember if it was Joe Buck or Troy Aikman said, you know, that Kyle Shanahan had mentioned that they felt like they had an advantage with special teams, even though, as you said, both of their special teams were not very good during the year. Kyle Shanahan made a point to mention that. Is that something that they identify in film sessions, where the guy in the middle has a hard time dealing with guys with long arms, and they can maybe expose that?
Yeah, and it sounds like that's exactly what happened. You know, I was just, you know, scrolling social media, as we kind of all were this whole weekend, and I saw somebody, I don't know who it was, but somebody that has something to do with special teams, former player that played, and he said that, you know, that long snapper has been lazy with his hands and his sets, and it shows on tape. And so it, you know, reared its ugly head in the biggest moment where, you know, he snaps the ball and he just wasn't, you know, didn't anchor down and just wasn't ready for Willis to come and long arm him and bull rush him right up the middle. And so that to me is just, it's good scouting. It's kind of common sense scouting. You know how it is. You're always trying to find the weak link in any game. Doesn't matter what sport you're playing. You're like, well, where's the weak link? Let's try to expose that. And obviously they found that with their center.
Ben, great stuff on the block punt. See, there's something I don't think any of us knew, that he had just come right off the bench to block that kick. So I'm glad we were able to learn that. As a guy who played defense in the NFL, what are you thinking when you're watching Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes shred defenses the way they did yesterday in that game?
I felt for those guys, especially, you know, I was actually texting with my aunt who lives in Buffalo and is a huge fan, and I just said to her, I said, you can't in this moment, you can't let Tyreek beat you. And you know, when he catches that ball over the middle, I mean, what do? You're helpless. You know, nobody can take an angle and try to get the guy. The guy is phenomenal with his speed, and you know, you could tell those guys were tired, they were gassed. Now you could say the same thing about Kansas City's offense. You know, look, those guys are tired from running routes and all that stuff. But, you know, as a defensive player, it annoys me when in those pressure moments that it seems so vanilla. And it seems so predictable. And look, I played for Leslie Frazier, defensive coordinator for the Bills, and I'm not saying this happened, but in my experience, we get into some pressure situations at the end of games, and he does not want to get aggressive. He wants to just fall back on playing cover two. And every team knew that. You know, we had a game in Chicago where on the field we were having a quick debate about whether or not we play cover two because we knew that we were being predictable. And I had to talk some of the defensive backs about going rogue because I was calling the plays, and they're like, we're not playing cover two. I'm like, we got to play cover two. Like, we, you know, offense is lining up, like, we got to go. And they're like, no, we're not. We got to play something else. And so we have like a little bit of a fight and a debate on the field in a pressure situation because he just wants to rely on just what he knows. And cover two is very safe. But cover two has a lot of holes and exploits you. And that's exactly what Kelce did. They knew that they're going to be in cover two. He nods the backside corner and hits the seam ball because the Mike linebacker has to honor the number three receiver on the other side. And so by alignment, by formation, they basically created a void for Kelce to run into. It's like, as a defensive player, like, I could see that coming. And I'm not even an offensive coordinator, you know? So, I don't know. I feel bad for those guys.
Ben, that was really great stuff, man. Really enjoyed it. I felt like I learned a lot about those games. And I watched them all, and I thought I was aware of everything that was going on. But right. I truly wasn't. Thanks for the visit. Good to catch up with you. And thanks for all your insight. Well, hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you again. Appreciate it.
Hey, guys, my pleasure. Always enjoy. I even like to hear you guys' traffic reports because I miss living in San Diego. So it's like a chance for me to, like, you know, think about being in San Diego and being in the warm weather.
A little old home week for you.
Well, make sure you stay warm out there.
Yeah.
I'll try.
All right,
I'll try. Bourbon helps.
Thanks, Ben. It does. Appreciate it. Ben Lieber right there, former Charger linebacker, and as it turns out, excellent Westwood One analyst. That's the story of the day. The guy, your hero, Scraby, who blocked the punt, talked his way into the game.
I think Tony Gwynn Jr. needs a little pat on the back.
No. I don't need a pat on the back. It seemed pretty obvious. Like,
okay.
Randomly, this guy shows up on the line, and then he gets a block. They clearly knew something was up. That's why they asked him to go in.
I like how he says he long-armed him.
He did, too.
I like how that also... I had no idea that people watch tape on long snappers. I'm sure they do, but you're picking up tells on a long snapper? You're doing your job if you're figuring that out.
Yeah. They don't miss anything in the NFL, that's for sure. All right, we'll come back. We got a little Chris versus the fans when we return. More football talk as well on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.